Just starting out of the U.S. first, and some of the data reports there now, for the most part, they're still reasonably strong, but there's just the hint of some softness starting to come into areas relating to consumer spending. I'll talk about that a bit in a minute, but some of the other indicators are actually holding up not too badly. So, for example, we've got the manufacturing PMI came out, the services sector PMI, both for the month of November, and they're actually a bit stronger than expected. The manufacturing PMI in the US is up to 56.7, which is a strong reading from 53.4. And November services sector PMI lifted very strongly from low 50s to 57.7. That is a pretty firm reading. But set against that, we also had consumer confidence and consumer sentiment for November coming out. And you can just see some fade on these now. Consumer confidence came down to 96.1 from 101.4. That was lower than expected. Market was looking for 98. And similarly so for consumer sentiment, down to 76.9 from 81.8. Some of the other regular indicators we got through the course of the week, we had durable goods orders came out. They're still pretty firm, up 1.3%, better than market expectations of 1. And that compares to the 2.1% gain going back the month before. We also got a final revision to Q3 GDP, and it was just edged down slightly to 33.1% annualized gain from 33.4%. So as far as the US is concerned, we've still got this evidence of this huge lift that went back to Q3. But much of that lift was down to household consumption expenditure was the driving force of much of that. And both in retail sales data that we had going back more than a week ago, and also the leading indicators coming through from consumer sentiment, consumer confidence, just a touch of fade. As far as other factors are concerned, the transition is continuing between President Trump and President Biden. Trump's still digging his heels in, but just everything he's thrown up to the courts has been knocked back in his face. The next major part of this story comes when the Electoral College votes on December the 14th. They're obliged to cast the votes as they were in the election and ratify those results. So once we get to that ratification process, Trump won't have a leg to stand on. He will still be railing against this election and how everybody's against him. And he got stuck in, he did a Fox interview with getting stuck into the courts now. Even they are conspiring against him. But he's looking sort of very much more remote now in some senses. Market senses that. And a lot of watching other things. And for the most part, we've still got a fair bit of support running through markets from both U.S. economic indicators and also the way in which they're slowly but surely getting towards the Biden administration, reasonably supportive there for risk assets still. This week out of the U.S. in terms of the data coming through, we have a little bit more data on housing. So we get October pending home sales. They're expected to lift by 1%. Housing's been by far and away the strongest part of the U.S. economy, and pending home sales right at the leading edge of that, looking pretty good. The market's expecting that when that comes out later today. We also get the ISM readings. So we had the PMIs that came out last week. These are the ISM surveys, and if anything, they could come in better than expected because the market expects that the ISM manufacturing survey will come down to 57.9 from 59.3. With the PMIs that came out last week really to go by, it might go in the opposite direction of that, might actually stay firm. The services sector PMI, they're expecting to drift back a bit too, to 56 from 56.6. Again, could be an upside surprise running through that. The other factor that people are watching through the course of this week is non-farm payrolls. The month of November coming out, the story with non-farm payrolls so far is that non-farm payrolls have been gaining pretty well. We had a 638,000 gain going back to the month of October. Market expects another 500,000 gain. Last month, we also had the unemployment rate in the US coming down way more than the market expected. It came down from 7.9% to 6.9%. Market thinks they'll drift down a bit further to 6.8%. Remembering that before COVID started, that the US unemployment rate was in the threes, so it's still got a very, very long way to go before it gets back down to that sort of territory. But broadly speaking, the data this week looking reasonably constructive as far as the US is concerned. Things are not looking constructive in the US still. Obviously, COVID infection rates continue to skyrocket, largely being ignored. We're also getting mighty close now to the start of some of these vaccines being applied. In some ways, that's sort of neutralising all of that bad news that's there about COVID-19 infection rates. China last week, the Chinese data, there wasn't any Chinese data of note really last week. This week we get their PMI readings. And normally, we look at these and when we see them firming a bit, we think that's good news for the global economy. But we're getting more and more evidence of China marching towards a China-first policy regime. And in amongst that is President Xi's view that anybody who dares to question anything that China does, which relates to its interests, they come down on them like a ton of bricks, and if that harms international relationships, so be it. This is very much the way in which China's moving. So it does tend to neutralise a little bit, what their economic readings may mean. But for what they're worth, on Tuesday we get the manufacturing PMI, the non-manufacturing PMI coming out. The manufacturing PMI was 51.4 in October, expects to rise to 51.5. The cakes in version of that, the private sector version of that, when it comes out later in the week, expected to hover around 53.6, where it was going back the previous month. The non-manufacturing PMIs, all in the mid-50s, 56.2, 56.8. There's not a market forecast on those, but are expected to hold roughly that territory. So the data, for what it's worth, is reasonably constructive, but people are watching other things out of China at the moment. Now, moving towards Australia, we got a little bit of Q3 data came out last week. It was a touch on the soft side. Q3 is not going to be as strong for Australia as it is for many other countries overseas. But we had construction work done where after falling 0.7% in Q2, it was down another 2.6%. It was down across the board in the various categories, running from engineering work through non-resi construction and residential construction. All of those came down roughly that headline 2 to 3% or 2.6% for construction work done. We also had private capital expenditure, where private capex in Q3 down 3.7% for buildings, down 2.2% quarter on quarter for plant and machinery. So private capex down 3% for the quarter. That's a lot better than the minus 7.1% going back the quarter before, but still a fairly soft reading. We also got the estimate, the fourth estimate for 2020-21, and this was a reasonably good one. So even though the past looks pretty bleak, the future's looking a little bit better. And it was up to $104 billion from $98.6 billion. Normally you get a flattish result between the third estimate and the fourth, so this is actually showing some signs of more optimism coming through. This week in Australia, we get a few more of these Q3 readings ahead of the GDP reading on Wednesday. The sort of stuff we're getting today is things like Q3 company profits, business inventories, they're expected to be pretty growth positive. Company profits expect to rise another 4.5% quarter on quarter on top of the 15% they rose the quarter before. Remembering the way the statistician looks at profits, everything that's been moving in there in terms of JobKeeper largely goes to the profit bottom line because it's taking out an expense. So basically, that's most of the story behind that very, very sharp rise there in profits. Business inventories, which detracted from growth going back to Q2, you had a 3% reduction in inventories. That expected to fall, but nowhere near as much as that, down 0.7%, so it becomes something of a positive factor. A negative factor comes on Tuesday, where we'll get the Q3 current account and Q3 net exports. Q3 current account, we had a whopping great big surplus going back to Q2, where we, the biggest current account surplus ever recorded by Australia, $17.7 billion. That has come back to $7.1 billion surplus. Now, putting this in context, it's only this last year we've been running current account surpluses at all. The previous 44 years, Australia never recorded a current account surplus on balance of payments. And it's almost a reflection of, we've got a lot more export demand. We have import demand. Domestic demand here was very, very soft through the recession, but we still had some exports running through. It's also a reflection of savings, that we were saving a lot more than we were investing, and that reflects in the current account surplus as well. Now, net exports, the contribution to GDP. Going back to Q2, we had a big contribution to GDP, 1 percentage point contribution to quarterly GDP. That will reverse to minus 1.7 percentage points for Q3. So we've got a few minuses in there for our GDP, but the one that's changed hugely the other way is household consumption expenditure. That accounts for over 60% of GDP, and that's going to make a massive positive contribution to Q3, way outweighing all these other negatives. And so when we get to the Q3 GD report on Wednesday, the market thinks it'll show a 2.5% quarter-on-quarter increase. If you annualise that, you get to 10%. It's a long way short of the US, 33.1%. But this is the story of Australia. It's slow burn. We'll have a pretty slow Q3, but unlike many other places, which will be fading in Q4, we'll actually strengthen a lot through Q4. So that's part of the reason why we're looking good by international comparison at the moment. If we get that 2.5%, what it means is that we go to minus 4.5% year-on-year for GDP from minus 6.3%. RBA meets on Tuesday as well, remembering that they did a lot of work going back to November. Back in November is when they cut rates, where we got most of the rates that they look at, like the cash rate, the three-year bond yield target, down to 10 basis points. So they're not going to be doing anything else on the interest rate front in December. Neither probably are they going to touch the QE, which they formally introduced really going back to the November meeting, where over the six months from November, they were going to be buying $100 billion of longer-dated Commonwealth government bonds and semi-government securities, and they were doing it by tender. With the aim of really ensuring that longer-term interest rates don't spike up too far as the recovery progresses. We've got the 10-year bond yield at the moment hovering around 0.9%. That's about where the RBA is comfortable-ish. It certainly doesn't want 10-year bond yields much higher than that. So this is going to be pretty flexible, the way in which they organise their QE totals. And if at any point the RBA became concerned that 10-year bond yields were pushing up a bit too much, they would certainly announce, even between meetings, an extension of QE. It's more about keeping those longer-term bond yields contained. We also have on Thursday, October international trade data coming out. Looking okay. We got a lift in September in the international trade balance to $5.6 billion. There's a bit of a fade to $4.5 billion. We've already had some preliminary readings for international trade, and imports lifted a little bit more than exports through the course of the month. So that's what's bringing back that trade position for the most recent month. And on Friday, we get the final reading of October retail sales. We've already had the October preliminary reading of this. And it was a big surprise. You know, it was up 1.6% month on month. You know, the market had been expected between a 1.5 and 2.5% fall. So, yeah, this is looking, it's a pretty strong reading. I doubt it's going to change much on the final reading of that either. One thing that's also worth noting is that November's looking very strong at this point too. We've had some reports already from retailers about so-called Black Friday sales. It's something we never used to have in the past, but for whatever reason, yeah, the US has Black Friday sales after Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving was Thursday last week. It's now become a feature over here, even though Thanksgiving has nothing to do with us. The only part of Australia that celebrates US Thanksgiving is Norfolk Island, because they had a whole load of American whalers who went through there way back in the 19th century, and they still celebrate Thanksgiving Day on Norfolk Island. But nowhere else does in Australia, but we still have, you know, the retailers, particularly in this world of internet retail sales, you know, try anything to boost sales. Well, it's working, and from the anecdotals over the weekend, it appears as if it's just been massive. And so we're going to see another big retail sales boost probably coming through in the month of November, but it's October retail sales which are coming out this week. In terms of Europe, we had manufacturing PMI came out. There's some slippage on that to 53.6 in November from 54.8. November services sector PMI down to 41.3 from 46.9. We also had November business and consumer confidence slippage on that, as you expect, to 87.6 from 90.9. You know, COVID-19 is a problem in Europe. Although, having said that, in the UK, it's going to be one of the first countries to start vaccinating people. They start on December the 7th with the Pfizer vaccine. So it has been authorised over there in the UK. So, yeah, there is a limit, perhaps, of the damage that even COVID news can do to Europe looking ahead. Looking at European data this week, perhaps the key focus would be the unemployment rate, which just drifted up a touch to 8.3% last month, looking at that being around about 8.4% for the month of October. But broadly speaking, we look around the world, you've still got a lot of policy support. You know, some of the factors that were worrying markets are fading somewhat, and it looks as if the extraordinary run in terms of support for risk assets is continuing for the time being. And yeah, obviously in the case of Australia, we've got some outperformance in that too, where when the figures finally come out, 30th of November, but you know, it looks as if we've got the best part of a 12% increase in the ASX 200. Seen nothing like that over the last 30 years, and that's extending to appetite for just about every other form of risk assets. And we are very much recognised internationally now as outperforming relative to other economies. So it's not been lost on international investors, and they're queuing up looking for some Australian exposure too.